Thank you for tuning in to the weekly podcast from San Jacinto Assembly of God in Amarillo, Texas. If you'd like to know more about our church, visit us online at www.sjag.church. Now, here's this week's message.
But you know, Paul truly had it right when he wrote in his second letter to his spiritual son, who he would call Timothy, about the nature of mankind in the last days that we live. And I think this is nothing that is new to any of you this morning. But he said this in one of the books, 2 Timothy, I believe it is, that they would be lovers of themselves and lovers of money, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, no self-control, brutal, despisers of God, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than God, and having a form of godliness but denying the power. And that is the word that Paul wrote to Timothy, describing in the last days. And I, whether you know it or not, we are living in the last days. How long will they last? I can't tell you exactly. But I know that we're living in those last days, and truly, we see these things. The people that are described is a people that are selfish and very unkind to others, if you want to put it all in one thing that we can take away from what Paul spoke of, how mankind would be in those last days, is a people that's very selfish and unkind to other people. And it doesn't take you long to look at some things that happen, and you think, well, that's so unkind. You know, we definitely see it in the day that we live. And true acts of kindness are getting less and less and less. Even among church people that we find today that we're living in. I ask AI this because he's one of my favorite friends. When I'm lonely, I just talk to AI. I'm just kidding. I typed in, why are acts of kindness so rare today? Why are acts of kindness so rare today? And this is what the answer was given from AI. Acts of kindness can seem rare today due to a combination of factors like stress and self-centeredness, a culture focused on competition and individualism, and a media environment that highlights negative events, making kindness appear less common. Furthermore, a misunderstanding of the value of kindness and fear of appearing weak can also contribute to its decrease of expression in our lives today. So there's a number of things that is spoken of, but I think that we can put a lot of what Paul described mankind into why some of these things are like they are today. Have you ever figured out yet, or have you figured out yet, the Word of God is so relevant. It's so much in where we live today, and it speaks so much into our life, and it speaks so much in the culture and the time that we're living in, and thus we see today what we are experiencing is because it was already spoken of. But the last part, did you hear the last part of that, is the misunderstanding of the value of kindness. The misunderstanding of the value of kindness. Michael P. Green shared these thoughts about kindness. He said, it takes a long time to fill a glass with drops of water. Even when the glass seems full, it can still take 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 more additional drops. But if you'll keep at it, there is at least that last drop, that last one drop that makes the glass overflow. You know, the same applies to deeds of kindness. In a series of kindness, there is that last one that perhaps makes the heart overflow. You're not for sure if it's going to be that one or not, but it's that particular one that if you would have stopped, you would have never seen the overflow of kindness into somebody's life. Paul did not say, listen, and sometimes we think all mankind is going to be like this. Paul did not say in 2 Timothy that all mankind were going to have that description that he spoke of. There are those that will not act like that. You know, I often hear it said that in the last day, the spirit of the Antichrist will increase. And we often focus on that. But it also says in the last days, the Spirit of God will be poured out upon mankind. And it also, Jesus spoke of the very fact that I'm going to build my church right next door to the gates of hell. And we forget what the positive is from heaven. And sometimes we get focused on such of the negative of the word. We say, well, that's just the way the race is supposed to be. The time is. And I might as well fold to that culture. But the fact is, Paul wasn't saying every man was going to be like that or every woman was going to be that. He was saying some are going to be that way. And we need to be in understanding that. We should never let culture keep us from doing what God has called us to do. We often quit acts of kindness because of a bad experience when we actually should keep going, is what was meant in the illustration that I gave. Yet who knows if that next act of kindness will be the one that makes the heart run over. So oftentimes it's easy to give up. I'm going to mispronounce his name, Publius Cyrus. In the first century, before the birth of Christ, wrote these words. He said, "You can accomplish by kindness what you cannot by force." And he spoke that, and he spoke volumes to me. Can I tell you this morning, church, in this rude, ruthless, and sometimes cruel world we live in today, instead of conforming to the culture and the way people perceive, and this is the way it's just going to be in these last days, sometimes, church, we need to stand out. We need to stand out from what the whole thing is speaking of, even in our country today. We need to stand out as something different than what's happening and what's going on. We have an example of this in Scripture that I want to look at this morning that speaks of this very thing of standing out. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 35 this morning. If you don't have your Scripture with you on your phone or in a Bible, in the pew there or the behind the seat there, there's a chair Bible that you can look at, page 1603. But I want to read this passage of Scripture. Many of you are familiar with the story. Starting in verse 25, he said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. And so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning for your presence in this house during the time of worship, prayer, God. And Lord, we're thanking you, Lord, this morning for every veteran, God, in this house, God, today. And Lord, we also thank you for this time, God, of sharing and preaching your word this morning. And Lord, we pray that your word will stir up inside of us, God, your purpose and your will for our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we all know this story as the Good Samaritan. It's well known even among non-believers, the term of the Good Samaritan. And we have the Good Samaritan law that protects those that will help others in time of need. We also have a great parable here this morning that is told by the Lord that reveals a wonderful act of kindness in this passage of Scripture. It reveals a wonderful act of kindness. Not only that, it also brings instruction by the Lord to go and do likewise into our lives. So it reveals that act of kindness, and it also reveals instructions to you and I as followers of Christ. Jesus tells this parable here of a man. A man had fell on difficult times. He had a time in his life that he was in need, and some of this was brought on by himself. The lacking of thinking got him in a mess. When you pick the story up where we find him on the side of the road, half dead, we understand that that he had been robbed. The road between Jerusalem and Jericho is about 21 miles. And it's not in the days that we just hop in our car and drive those 21 miles. It's a day's walk to get there. Or for me, it'd be like 3 days' walk. But it's a lengthy journey. But not only that, this man chose to walk alone. And in that 21 miles, that stretch, and there are thieves and bandits just waiting for opportunity. And he puts himself in jeopardy by walking by himself and not having other people around him. So partly the reason he's in the problem he is or has is because the choices he has made in his life. You know, sometimes people make choices that are bad that does not keep us from helping them. Come on, sometimes we lay our little judgment and our thoughts. Well, you made your bed, you sleep in. But sometimes we got to understand, I'm not talking condoning, but it doesn't keep us from loving. And so we find this guy, he's there because he made some bad choices, and now the Bible says he's half dead. And he's laid there, and if you're half dead and nobody helps you, you're probably going to be completely dead eventually. And so this is the story that we find. However, Jesus in the parable is not focusing on the man's faults. He's not focusing on the bad decisions. He's not focusing on this. He puts the focus, what he's doing, he's laying out a scene for all of us to look and for us all to put ourselves in and start to walk down that road and understand or figure out what would we do if we were walking past this man. The victim is not the story. The story is the three men that are coming to walk by. And I want you to understand, sometimes God tests us in different areas. And this is what we find here in this parable, because he's trying to speak to a lawyer that's speaking to him. And he's trying to get the lawyer to understand. By the way, when I say the word lawyer, that's up the next verse. I appreciate Brother Kerry Tilly's preaching last week. I listened online. He did a great job. Here we have this story going, and Jesus is setting out the scene to make a point. He's setting out the scene to bring revelation into our lives. He's setting out the scene that he can speak into our spirit, into our hearts, that we can understand. The Bible says counsel comes from deep within, and he who can draw it out is a wise man. And so Jesus is sitting here speaking to the lawyer, and he's wanting to bring out some counsel, and he's wanting to bring out revelation of understanding. And oftentimes he does that with you and me in the times that the Holy Spirit speaks to us. So here we are. And this brings me to my first thought, is this, and I only have two thoughts this morning. Typical man. Opportunities for acts of kindness are not hidden. Opportunities for acts of kindness are not hidden. We find in Scripture, in this passage, in this parable, can I tell you, you can't help what you are not aware of. Amen? You can't help what you're not aware of. I often hear mamas when their baby is little and that baby's hurting and crying, and they say, I just wish that baby could tell me where they're hurting at, because then I would know what to do. I had a pastor friend. He says, you know, I had a lady come into my Sunday school room, and she got all up in my face and told me she was mad at me. And I said, why are you mad at me? Or he said, why are you mad at me? Because I've been sick, and you did not call. You did not pray. And he said, did you ever tell me you were sick? She says, no. I've been sick for 7-8 days, and nobody's called me. Yeah, I'm feeling sorry for myself. No, I didn't let anybody know. So why would I expect you to call? You know, you can't help that which you're not aware of. Come on. And sometimes people expect us to just supernaturally understanding. But the fact is, when we're talking about opportunity for acts of kindness, we must understand that they are not hidden. These are not something I have to try to figure out. These are things that we see in this passage, in this parable. We find that the opportunity for an act of kindness is very evident. Something that we see, something that we know there's a problem. See, the obvious, the opportunity for an act of kindness in this story was obvious. This wasn't a busy New York street. This was a country road. We are told in this parable there are three men that walked by and saw this victim on the side of the road. The opportunity was evident. The opportunity was visible. There was no guessing. I'll tell you, you know, it's like this. If you find me flat out on the floor, something's wrong. Amen? And what is that? If you ever see me running, you know somebody's chasing me. I mean, there's those things that we know we don't have to guess about. And this is those things. And sometimes we think, well, I don't know. God, speak to me. Oh, but most opportunities are visible. Most chances. And they present themselves in a way that you know that there's a need in somebody's life. And this is what we have. Three guys walked by. The priest saw and crossed over. The Levite saw and went like this over to the body, the man, and looked at him, got up, and crossed over to the other side of the road. And then we find the Samaritan that seen and went over and ministered help. But all three had the opportunity, not just the Samaritan. I think that's something we need to understand. All three gentlemen that walked by that day had an opportunity presented to them to have an act of kindness displayed into their life to that person. Evident. The need was not hidden, but it was brought out. We have opportunities almost every day for acts of kindness that are not hidden in our lives. Almost every day we have needs, opportunity for acts of kindness. It may be the shut-ins in our church. Some may not know what a shut-in is. That's somebody that used to attend faithful, came here all the time, but yet their bodies got to where they cannot come for whatever health reason it may be. Now they're not able to come. There's opportunities for acts of kindness into their life. It may be someone going through a difficult time. You know, you're aware of it, and they're going through a difficult time. It's an act, an opportunity for an act of kindness. It may be as simple just opening a door for some veteran that's going through the door in a wheelchair. It may be something as simple as seeing an elderly woman in the parking lot of Walmart getting finished with the rest of her groceries. And try not to be too aggressive with this. But as she puts the last one, ma'am, can I put your basket back over here for you? There's always an opportunity for acts of kindness. But would you agree with me today? We need more acts of kindness in this world that we're living in. Amen. We need more of those. It's not a lack of opportunity. We need to be more aware of our environment and our surroundings in some of our areas. It may be somebody that's sick. You know, and maybe you are a great cook. How many remember James Adams? And he was a homeless man, got saved, and God just turned his life around. And I remember him walking through those doors with that suit on and just beard shaved, and he got his new teeth in, and man, he looked totally different. I found out that he liked chicken and dumplings. You know how I found that out? Because there was some lady in the church that was making those for him. And giving them because he liked them. Not out of the can, homemade. That was helping him and giving them because he liked those chicken and dumplings. I'm just saying acts of opportunities are all around us. It may be somebody that has lost a loved one. You don't know what to say or how to be there. Let me tell you, that's an awkward moment. But sometimes it's just saying, hey, I'm praying for you. Sometimes it's I'm just walking with you. Sometimes I just let you know I care of what you're going through. It's those times, because, see, just as clear as it is in our parable today, just as clear as it was for those three guys to see this guy on the side of the road, we have opportunities just as clear in our life each and every day for opportunities to have an act of kindness in our life. See, the list can go on, but, you know, it doesn't have to be a big thing. And sometimes we get wrapped up, well, I got to make this a big thing. I'll help when I need to do a big thing for somebody. You know, little things are an amazing thing. Just doing that little thing for somebody. Tolstoy, the great Russian writer, was passing along a street one day when a beggar stopped him and pleaded for alms. The great Russian searched through his pocket for a coin, but finding none, he regretfully said, "Please don't be angry with me, my brother, but have nothing with me. If I did, I would gladly give it to you." The beggar's face flamed up and he said, "You have given me more than I asked for. You have called me brother." In other words, I recognize you as a human being. And sometimes we don't understand and we look to do something big in somebody's life when it's just something small that says something of volume to someone. Just that somebody cares. I got a text this morning from my pastor, a pastor friend, and he says, "Listen, I want you to know I'm praying for you this morning that you know that somebody's praying for you." And I almost texted him back a paragraph. Let me tell you why you got that thing from God. No. I said, "Thank you, brother. I appreciate you." But I'm just saying sometimes it's just those little things of act of kindness in somebody's life that can make a difference. So what I'm saying today, we do not lack opportunity for acts of kindness. We lack act of kindness for opportunities. Come on, hear what I said. It's not that we lack the opportunities. It's that we lack act of kindness for the opportunities. For someone to step up to the plate and be Jesus for them. Yes, even in the church. How do we fix this? I want you to catch hold of something concerning these three men. Acts of kindness come from within. Acts of kindness come from within. Did you know the half-dead man on the road was a Jewish brother? He was a Jewish. He was a Jew. He was going from Jericho to Jerusalem. Samaritan. He wasn't a Samaritan. He was a Jewish brother. The priest ignores him and leaves him to die. Or his priest ignores him and leaves him to die. The priest represents the religious among us. Those that present themselves as godly. Those that present themselves as this much and that much more. Those that act like they know it all about the Word of God. The religious people. Can I tell you, religious has nothing to do with relationship. Relationship is all about who we are with God and who we are in God. The priests study the Word, find themselves in church quite often, but yet the very Word they study is not seen in their actions. Talk about the one in this story here. We can only guess the true reason, and I can sit here and guess all day, well, the man was busy, the man didn't have time, he was on a busy schedule. You can guess all kinds of reasons why the priest did not stop and touch him. Well, he didn't want him to become unceremonially clean, and all these things that you can guess. But the fact is this, that he did not stop and help a man in need. Would you agree with me this morning that God cares about mankind? that God cared so much about you that He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to give everything He had upon the cross of Calvary. You know what we call that? We call that love. And God loves us so much. So we can say about the priest that even though the Word may have been in the priest's life every day, the acts of kindness was not found in him. Now we have the other one, his server at the temple. Because if you look at the word Levi, it meant they were servers in the temple. They were God's people to serve in the temple. And we find the server here, and it gets a close-up that he actually goes over and looks at the man, assesses the situation, and says, yeah, he doesn't look good. And then he says, I don't think you said this, but I think you're going to die, or whatever it may be, and walks off. And sometimes that's how we look at problems. We think, yeah, I see it. There's nothing I can do. Matter of fact, I've got other things to do in my life. I just need to go on. It's not like I didn't see the situation. It's like I don't think I have what it takes to equip. Can I tell you something this morning? If God put it in your vision, in your circle, God will provide what needs to be done. You may not have it within your own wallet. You may not have it with your own talents. But God, oh my word, you can't imagine the storehouse that He has. You may have the very contact that they need. Come on, you may be the one that can link them up to the source that can help them out. And see, He sees this. We don't know exactly why He left either, but He did. That He made the choice to move on. You know what we find in the Levite also? Is that he didn't have it within him to perform the act of kindness. So we have a priest, a Levite, that both seen the situation, both seen the man bleeding, beat up, black eyes, whatever he had, and didn't have it within them to help him in an act of kindness. But the next thing I observe is his enemy renders kindness from his heart. Why do I say enemy? Because listen, the Jewish people and the Samaritans were they didn't get along. They called each other dogs. They had no respect for one another. But here, why did Jesus use the Samaritan? Because he wanted to point something out on who is able to surrender acts of kindness. He wanted to make a point in this parable. Is this a true story? No, it's a parable. But Jesus is putting it in a way that we have an understanding of it. And He says, I want you to understand this. You know, sometimes we don't want to cross the boundaries. Sometimes we think, well, we don't want to do that. But Jesus says this. Did you know, how many of you know about the Salvation Army? Okay. One of the things that we studied when I was getting credentials is the birth of and how it all came about. It just says that when Mrs. Booth, who even more than her husband was the life of the Salvation Army, was a little girl running along the road with a hoop and a stick, and she saw a prisoner dragged away by a constable to the lockup, a mob was hooting and at the unfortunate culprit. And his utter loneliness appealed at once to her heart. It seemed to her that he had not a friend in the world. Quick as a thought, she sprang to his side and marched down the street with him, determined that he should know that there was one soul that felt for him, whether he suffered for his own fault or that of another. In other words, what was birthed in that little girl was the fact that she learned the part of compassion. The Bible tells us in verse 33 in this passage that we're reading, this parable, that the Samaritan, Jesus uses this word on purpose, was moved by compassion. The word compassion is more than having sympathy. I know probably the priest looked at the man and had sympathy for the man. And perhaps the Levite looked at the man and had sympathy for them. feeling sorry for the situation, feeling sorry that he got himself into that. They all understood the whole concept of the road and not being alone. They understood all of that. But there was a man, he was a Samaritan, and Jesus said that man had compassion, which takes sympathy onto a different level. Sympathy, empathy, it all comes together. I'm not just feeling sorry for you, but I'm going to do something about your situation. I may not be able to do much, but maybe I got some friends can throw in with me, and we can make the situation better in your life. Compassion was something that was moving in this man. Compassion does not come from the outside. Compassion comes from the inside. It's something that is inside that man, that Samaritan that came forth. Oh, you couldn't have kept him from helping. How many of you have ever seen somebody that just itching for the opportunity to help somebody in need? Why is that? Because it's inside. It's something that stirs up inside of it. Can I tell you this morning is that we, each one of us that have been born again, bought by the blood of Jesus, the Spirit of the living God, the triune God dwells within us. One, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in that, we have what we've been preaching about the fruits of the Spirit. Can I tell you this morning, if I'm struggling to perform the acts of kindness in my life, I need to produce that fruit of the Spirit. I need to have that fruit to start producing in me. I say, I don't have it within myself. I find people that have a gift. There's such things as gifting. Amen. Some of you are so gifted in looking for opportunity and meeting needs. I can look around right now. I'm not going to name all of you, but you are gifted. I am not gifted. I confess it. But that doesn't mean that I get a pass from not having acts of kindness in my life. And if I can't perform the acts of kindness in my life, I need, even you that are gifted, you need the fruit of the Spirit that called kindness. Because when it comes from within, I've already got the source. I've already got the Holy Spirit living in me. I just need to start letting that be produced in me. It may start as easy as just, like I said, opening the door from somebody. It may be just as a simple thing that I can find myself doing. But it needs to be produced in us. We need acts of kindness in this church toward one another. We need acts of kindness. Not only that, but your neighbor. This whole story is about who is my neighbor. Right? Who is my neighbor? Acts of kindness. What is it? Something that can be in every one of our lives. Well, Pastor, you don't know how bad I've been hurt in my life, how people have walked over me and all this stuff. I get it. I understand it. Because sometimes you feel like a floor mat. Amen? You ever feel like a floor mat? People just use you, walk on you, and you know they're coming back, so you move your mat, right? But I'm just saying sometimes we get to feeling like that, and we surrender back. We pull back. I want to remind you of the first thing I'll speak of. You know, you never know when that next act of kindness is going to touch somebody's life. Have I been smoked in trying to help people yet? Yes, I have. I have put people in apartments. I have got food for them and all this stuff, and just to realize they were just taking me to the cleaners. But you know what? I'm just so gullible. The next one comes along, hey, I'm going to help you out. But let me tell you, after you do that for so many years, sometimes you get to where I'm not helping you at all. And guess what? It may be the right one. I know Care Cafe experienced some that were appreciative and some that wasn't. We experienced it in the pantry back. They experienced it back there in the pantry. But guess what? There's some mama coming in that's got four kids that really need somebody to help them. And don't let the one that's such a jerk keep them from their blessing. We don't need to surrender back. We don't need to pull back from helping. We just need to do it and let it be in God's hand. And if we're having problems with it, then I need to get before God. I need to get on my knees once again and start praying to the Lord and let that fruit of the Holy Spirit start to stir up inside me once again. I remember we preached about joy. We preached about endurance and all these things. And sometimes we need to also understand that we need those acts of kindness back into our life. Come on, church, we can be treated bad, we can be abused, but we don't need to shut down being good and being kind. Having those acts of kindness in our lives. This man didn't just stop. I suppose he had something that he was doing that day. After all, he was on the road. And sometimes we find ourselves too busy. Let's take a lesson from the Good Samaritan. He stopped what he was doing, took time to touch and minister the wound, then put him in a place that he could heal up. And then he says, if I haven't given you enough money, listen, I heard some faith preacher preach this thing as how you're going to get all the money from that money that the Samaritan. You know, this has nothing to do with money. Amen? And I may not be as educated as that faith preacher, but I'm going to tell you, sometimes when you twist the scripture to get money from folks, you are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The message here is that we learn that we are to have acts of kindness in the people's lives. We are to do that, church. Sometimes we stand in their faces and we preach, you either repent or you're going to hell. But sometimes we just need to open the door with some acts of kindness. Remember, the acts of kindness can move in much ways other than force. Loving into the heart. Loving into the heart. You know, we need to do that in our communities. And you know what really gets me when I do acts of kindness to people and they go to another church? I'm trying to build San Jacinto. Don't you get that? But you know what? I rejoice in the fact that they weren't going to church and now they're going to church. Amen? And we just can't pull back because we're in a, if you're on YouTube or if you're on Facebook, if you're Instagram, whatever it is that you watch, TikTok, and all you see are bad things. Listen, it has an effect on how we treat one another and we think, well, what's the worst thing? What's even the use of doing an act of kindness to somebody? This world is just terrible anyhow. Let me tell you the reason for that. I'm concluding. I'm going to give you the last scripture here. It says this in Luke 10, verses 36 and 37. I didn't read it. And I'm going to give you the reason that we don't need to quit. So after the parable, Jesus had a test for the lawyer. So which of these three do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Now listen to what Jesus said. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. And I tell you, the Lord doesn't care how much education I got, and how many sermons I preach. He cares about whether or not I obey His word. He says, go and do likewise. You know what we need to say in 2025, or here in 2025? Go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. Which I'll guarantee you, it may be this afternoon you have an opportunity. Some opportunity is waiting for somebody that's going to show the act of kindness in their life. Because that's what the word means in the fruit of the Spirit. It's not just being kind. It's an act of kindness. It's an action of doing something in somebody's life. Would you stand with me this morning? Read another deal says, you know, the acts of kindness is something that's hard to give away because it always comes back to you. Amen? It always comes back to you. I believe, church, that we can have an impact on our city